We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Roddy Jones, Georgia Tech star, ACC Network analyst, joining us as he does every week at the WakeBoard.com hotline, looking ahead to the Jackets and Dogs here. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Roddy. Welcome back to the show.
Happy Thanksgiving, John. I hope you are doing well.
Yeah, we all are doing well here.
So Roddy, I have to ask you, man, because we've been kind of talking about this the last couple of weeks. Georgia Tech has fallen off in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Is Coach Collins' job in jeopardy, in your opinion?
No, it's not, in my opinion. And it's a question that has probably been brought up a little too often for Coach Collins' liking the past 3 or 4 weeks, especially in year three. You know, that's typically something that we hear about a coach going through a rebuild who got a 7-year contract in like year 4 or 5. And I think there's a couple of things that have gone into sort of the discontent with the fan base. Number one, you know, we talked before the season, and there were a lot of people that expected Georgia Tech to be in the running to make a bowl game, and they are certainly far from that. I don't think that's the biggest reason that people are disappointed, though. I think the biggest reason is that the team doesn't look to have improved, and injuries have something to do with that, but everybody deals with injuries on a year-in, year-out basis. Mm-hmm. But there's just some frustration, particularly amongst the fans, and some confusion amongst analysts, myself included, on why the improvement hasn't been as consistent on the defensive side. So, no, to answer your question, Hugh, I don't think Coach Collins' job is in jeopardy. I do think people understood that this was a rebuild. But I do also feel like there's an understanding that there was an expectation that the team would be further along more consistently at this point in Jeff Collins' tenure.
Well, yeah, you look around the state, Roddy. Georgia's playing legitimately as a unanimous number one for a national title. Georgia State's going back to a bowl game. Kennesaw State is in the playoffs in 1AA, and Georgia Tech just lost 55-0 to Notre Dame. I mean, yeah.
It's not exactly ideal. You know, Georgia Tech and Georgia Southern are the two that are fighting to get back to where they once were, with Georgia Southern just having hired Clay Helton. But yeah, like, look, the neighborhood that you live in obviously affects how fans feel. Like, Georgia Tech fans walk around all day with the understanding that Georgia is the number one team in the country. That's a tough thing to take. Now, I'm not saying Georgia Tech fans expect Tech to be, you know, in the top 10 on a year-in, year-out basis like Georgia fans do. But coming off of a 55-0 loss to a Notre Dame team, where, like, let's be honest, you didn't even look even remotely competitive. And knowing that you have a much better football team coming to the Flats this Saturday, it's tough. It's really tough.
Hey, what you saw of Notre Dame last week, I guess there might be some comparison to what Georgia does with Georgia Tech here. Notre Dame does not control its own destiny, and the playoff poll came out yesterday. Roddy Jones, ACC Network analyst. The top five teams do control their own destiny: Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, Cincinnati, and Michigan. Those teams control, but Notre Dame at 6 does not. It needs help. Does Notre Dame deserve, without playing in a conference title game, is that team worthy of being in the playoffs?
Yeah, I don't think the thing is about these things is you can't look at them in a vacuum. Like, in a normal year, a one-loss Notre Dame team that's a non-conference champion doesn't deserve it. But in a year like this, like, yeah, I think so. And Notre Dame needs a lot to go right. Because I think if Oklahoma State wins out, they jump Notre Dame. Honestly, I'm not completely convinced that if Oklahoma doesn't win out, they don't jump Notre Dame, to be honest, as well. But in a year like this, if you get an Oklahoma State loss, let's say, and then in front of you, you get probably Alabama losing to Georgia or Cincinnati losing to to Houston or ECU this week, then I think Notre Dame would certainly get in. So deserving in a normal year, maybe not, but we're coming off back-to-back years where you had multiple undefeated conference champs. Like, I mean, in 19, we had, what, three of them get in? This year, you even have a two-loss team get in because it's just been that kind of year.
Talking with Roddy Jones, ACC Network analyst, about college football. And one other interesting question. One of your counterparts, Mike Griffith, who is a senior writer for Dog Nation, made a suggestion to us on Monday. He said that he thinks that Georgia Tech and Florida State, some of these non-conference games at the end of the year, ought to be moved to September. That Georgia shouldn't be finishing its season playing Charleston Southern and Georgia Tech, but rather playing SEC teams, and that should happen, you know, sooner than later. How do you feel about where it's placed? Would you move the Georgia Tech game?
No. You know, we call it rivalry week for a reason, and it's because it's where all the rivalries fall. So, like, you know, I don't know Mike. I've probably read his stuff a handful of times. Not saying he's bad. I just, you know, just don't come across it all that often. But like, Georgia fans weren't ever saying that when the game was competitive. And I you know, a few years ago, Georgia fans were talking about, hey, maybe we should cancel the rivalry entirely. Like, these it seems, are the same fans that stand by the tradition of not wearing, you know, certain jerseys and, you know, not getting away from certain other things that make college football. Like, rivalries, in-state rivalries make college football what they are. And if you were to scatter all these games throughout the year, then I think the end of year games just lose their luster. Like, what would happen if Georgia finished its season playing Missouri and Vanderbilt? Would Georgia fans be any more excited? Those are SEC games. So sure, like, you know, switch it up. You play Missouri and Vanderbilt to end the year. Like, you're not going to get Alabama and Auburn at the end of every year. You're not going to get the best teams, the best matchups at the end of every year. Move the Florida game too while we're at it. Let's just move all the games. Let's just get rid of all of it and move them.
So what do you, like, from the matchups from this weekend, what is your favorite matchup for this weekend coming up?
Oh, it's got to be Bedlam. You know, there's so much at stake in that game. And it's a game where the team that typically does not win that rivalry is the better football team. Like, the game, Ohio State-Michigan, is certainly an intriguing game. I don't really feel like Michigan has a very good chance in that ball game because I think Ohio State on offense is just incredible. Now, and by the way, Michigan doesn't win that game. But in the Oklahoma State game in Bedlam, I think that Oklahoma State has been playing better the entire season. And while history is on Oklahoma's side, their performances consistently have been sort of all over the map. So, that one is the most intriguing one to me because I think it's the one that the team that has been on the wrong side of the rivalry so often is the team that looks like they should win the ball game.
I have three rapid fire questions for ACC for you, Roddy. Ready?
Yep. Let's get it.
Manny Diaz, does he get fired at Miami?
No.
Virginia Tech, who do they hire?
Oh man, I had a really good answer for that about a week ago, and it was Billy Napier. But with Florida coming open, I think you're going to get in a bidding war. So I have no idea, to be honest with you. I really don't.
I said that if Virginia Tech were smart, they would really talk to Dan Lanning. You know, with his recruiting ties.
Yeah,
I
mean that's a hot name. Dan Lanning's like what, 34, and he's never been a head coach before. You can't give you can't give a job like that to that guy. That's too much of a risk.
Clemson plays South Carolina. That looks like an even game on paper this year. Is South Carolina trending back with its change of coach there? And is the Clemson demise a little too soon? Do you expect that they'll be back next year?
So I'll go backwards on this one. Yeah, everyone writing off Clemson was a little premature. We like to dance on the graves of people who have been at the top. Like, they're probably going to end up being a 10-win team at the end of the year, and we're talking about the demise of a dynasty. The South Carolina thing, are they trending back? Yeah, I mean, yeah, they're a lot better this year. Now, will they get back to the Spurrier days? No, those happened at a time where Georgia was terrible or Georgia was middling. They weren't terrible. Georgia was not what they are now, and Florida certainly was not what they're capable of being. And Florida gets back on track, and that makes it tough for South Carolina. And then I can't remember what the first question was.
Basically, it was about, you know, Clemson. returning back to
powerhouse
status next year, that they'll be back in the mix.
Yeah, look, Clemson's still got one of the top five most talented rosters in the country, and they've got one of the best coaching staffs in the country. So quarterback play has plagued them this year. They started Dabo's son at receiver last week, so injuries have certainly played a part. But, yeah, they'll be fine.
Well, Roddy, I guess the final question is, are you with Matt Judon that no mac and cheese on the table at Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I was about to ask you that. What's up with the mac and cheese, man? You a fan of mac and cheese or no?
That's a bad take that, like, I hate that we are even, like, having to dive into. Of course mac and cheese needs to be on the table. Like, if I'm a guy that you know, wants my 15 minutes of fame, then slander one of the staples of any holiday. Go ahead. And, like, it's not just a holiday. Like, anytime people get together, mac and cheese is there.
Like that's what I was saying, man. Mac and cheese is, like, the norm at any – like, I ate mac and cheese for half my life every Sunday.
Like, Memorial Day, mac and cheese is there. 4th of July, mac and cheese is there. Birthdays, mac and cheese is there. Christmas, thank you. Like, we should not even be having this conversation. This guy should be just like we cancel people all the time for, like, you should be canceled for that take. You really should be.
You,
like,
know what that you know what that is, Roddy? He didn't ride the school. He didn't ride the public bus to school. He got taken to school.
He must have been in the private school.
He had the private school.
They had the bad mac and cheese.
Yes. That's exactly what it is. He ain't had to ride the bus to school.
Get off my timeline, man.
He bugging.
Happy Thanksgiving, Roddy. Thanks much.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Happy Thanksgiving, and have someone good make your mac and cheese.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.